the top of the day to you, and the rest of the day to your mother and father in the back of my hand, your enemies. Now I offer you that Irish greeting with the very best Irish brogue I could muster in order to pay tribute and respect to my favorite saint on his feast day. Okay, now I got that out of the way. Let me ask you this question. How did it turn out for you? It probably didn't turn out the way you thought it would, because it normally doesn't. It usually turns out altogether differently than we thought it would. And I'll bet you, the very first time you thought of it was when you were in high school. You remember when you were in high school and the kids used to write in your yearbook, here is the one most likely to, and then they'd fill in that blank with whatever it was that they thought would compliment you. I'll bet that was the first time that you ever gave any serious thought to your future. Well, the future of that day is today. How did it turn out for you? I bet it didn't turn out anything like you thought, because it normally doesn't. And the good news is, it turned out even better than you imagined. Now, in case you're not quite convinced of that, consider this. God has a plan for you in your life, and He developed that plan long before you were created, and you are living that plan. You are where you are, who you are, living in this community, in this century, in this country, doing what you do as part of God's overall plan for you. And so no matter what you may have imagined as a child in high school, what you're living now is what God has planned for you, so it is infinitely better than anything you could have imagined. And some of you are thinking, yeah, right. In case you're not totally convinced, that's what we're going to talk about today. Belief. Belief in the existence of God. Belief in the presence of God in your life. Convinced of God's unlimited love for you. And when you have that conviction, not a hope, not just a belief, a conviction, your life will change forever. That's what happened to the apostles. They were given that conviction miraculously. Probably not going to happen to you. But miraculously, they saw a glimpse of the divinity of Christ, and their lives changed from that moment forward. The first thing that happened is that they were completely overjoyed. They were overwhelmed with their joy. They were almost giddy in their joy. Let's set up a couple of tents here, Jesus, and we'll dwell on the side of this mountain forever. Even the writer of the gospel story said they didn't know what they were talking about in their joy and their happiness. They couldn't believe. It finally is true. This unalterably evidence to them that Christ is God. Miraculously, they became convinced. Now that conviction changed them. What happened to them after that? First of all, they became men of enormous courage. No matter what discouraged them in life, it didn't discourage them. No matter what opposition came to them in life, they overwhelmed the opposition. They became calm. They became peaceful. They became men of great joy. There was no disappointment, and they had many that could destroy their joy. Their confidence made them courageous, joyful, confident followers of Christ, knowing in their heart beyond any scintilla of doubt, not even a little doubt, Christ is God, Christ is in my life, eternity waits for me. And when you have that conviction, your life will change dramatically. And the way you get that conviction is not necessarily miraculously. Normally, you cannot see the presence of God in your life in the present moment. You have to look back on life in order to see the presence of God in your life. Let me give you an example. It's one of my favorite stories. I've told it before, so I'm going to give you a condensed version. It's about a young man who prayed for financial security, and the next day, he didn't get it. There was no bag of gold sitting on the kitchen table, nor the day after, nor the day after. Several weeks went by, months went by, and he did not get financial security. So in that present moment, he concluded the prayer was not answered. The years went by. His responsibility in his career increased. His promotions began to come. Eventually, he qualified for a pension plan, profit sharing, a good salary, a good income. Financial security after 25 years. At the time he prayed, he didn't get an instant answer in the present moment. He concluded the prayer wasn't answered. And sadly, when the prayer was answered 25 years later, because he no longer remembered the prayer, he did not equate the presence of God in his life. God answers all prayers. To see God in your life, you have to look back on your life. And the same is true in history. To see the presence of God in history, you have to look back on life. In the reading today of Abraham and God, God said to Abraham, "Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the heaven." Now, I would guess that at that present moment, if someone had heard that, they would have thought, "Oh, that's not true. How can Abraham have descendants more than the stars in the sky? And he's an old man at that." 4,000 years later, according to the world population statisticians, there are about 15 million Jewish people in the world, descendants of Abraham. Let me ask you this question. If there are 15 million descendants of Abraham in the world today, how many descendants of Abraham do you suppose lived and died over the past 4,000 years? Could you say the number was incalculable? Exponential? I know how you could describe it. More numerous than the stars in the sky. You have to look back at history to see God in it. Let me give you a more contemporary example. Since its foundation, American leaders have prayed the same prayer over and over again, usually at the end of their speech. God bless America. Elected officials take an oath of office, and at the end of the oath, they all say the same four words. So, help me, God. Has God helped America? Has God blessed America? Well, I would think during the Civil War, at that present moment, most Americans would say, no, God is not blessing America and is not helping America. They were in agony. That's probably true for World War I, World War II, maybe in the Great Depression, the Dust Bowl. It didn't look like God is helping America. Now looks back on history. Has God blessed America? America is the richest country in the world. America is the most powerful country in the world. Americans enjoy more personal, individual freedom than any nation in the world. America is rich, powerful, and free. If you were to develop a criteria with which you were to judge the success of a nation, those three aren't bad criteria. And when you look back at world history, has God blessed America? America is the richest country that the world has ever known, bar none. Not Rome, not Greece, not Egypt. America has more power than any nation in the history of the world, and yes, Americans have more individual personal liberty than citizens in any nation in the world in history. God has blessed America. You have to look back in order to see the presence of God. You will not see the presence of God any other way unless God grants you a miracle. Every human being on this earth needs solitude. Not quiet time, solitude, when you know you'll be alone. You must develop the discipline of regular solitude, a time for personal prayer, when you can look back and reflect on your personal life. Now, the first couple of times you try to do that, because you don't have the discipline, you'll probably fail. Don't give up. Keep trying. When that solitude time of personal reflection becomes a part of your life, you will begin to see incontrovertibly the presence of God in your life, because you'll begin to recognize all those coincidences, and you will know they were not coincidences. And finally, you will get to a point of conviction. You will be convinced, not hopeful, not I wish, not God, I hope there's really a heaven. You will be convinced of the presence of God in your life, the existence of God in the universe, and eternal joy and happiness for you. And when you have that conviction, your life will change dramatically. You will now become a person of courage. You will now become a person of great joy. No disappointment will destroy that joy. No opposition will destroy that courage. You'll become a person of confidence, calmness, peace, because you will know God is here. God is with me. Of whom shall I be afraid? No one and nothing. When you have the conviction of the existence of God in your life, you will finally get to a point where you, just like the apostles, will experience, oh God, thank you for being in my life. Let us dwell here together forever. Thank you.